Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, Geekscapists. Welcome to our brand new Geekscape podcast. I'm Jonathan London, your host. And this episode of Geekscape is previously recorded from our holiday special. We did a 2023 live stream across the network. Our good friend Matt Kelly, who's in charge of the Geekscape Network, was the orchestrator of all of this. And we raised money for Big Brothers Big Sisters. The link is still live. If you're listening to this in 2023, the link to donate is still live at tinyurl.com/GeekscapeGives2023. You can donate to our cause over there at Big Brothers Big Sisters. And we talk about it a bit here in this episode you're about to hear. Along with that, you're going to hear a rundown of the Geekscape Network, our State of the Union. What have we built in the last year? How has Geekscape progressed? It's kind of fun to see behind the scenes and kind of look at where the network is and what the shows are. And Matt and I have a lot of fun with that. I love having our friends on the network. I absolutely love building a home for our creative friends to do cool stuff together and communicate and collaborate. And I also love making new friends, as we've done in the last year. And we talk a bit about that as well. And then Matt and I get into the goods of the genre talk that you're here for, the pop culture stuff. So there's a bit of that as well, as I talk about Godzilla Minus One, which I love, and looking back at 2023 and some of the highlights of the genre stuff that was out there as far as films go. I think it was actually a pretty good year. A lot of people bemoan the Marvel stuff and the superhero stuff and saying, hey, superhero movies are dead, it's over. I actually go back through the year and say, hey, not so fast. Genre films and that stuff is still very, very, very strong. And I give plenty of evidence as to why that is true. So enjoy this State of the Union Geekscape episode and a lot of genre talk with my good friend Matt Kelly, taken from this past weekend's Geekscape 4th Annual Holiday Livestream. Geekscapists, welcome to our brand new Geekscape podcast. I'm Jonathan London, your host. And if this is your first Geekscape, strap yourselves in for some pop culture talk. Movies, video games, comic books, TV, all the pop culture that's fit to be stuffed under the hood of your cranium as we get to it and talk some pop culture. This is the 4th annual Geekscape holiday live stream for Big Brothers and Big Sisters. So I'm going to go ahead and tell you to go to the URL, tinyurl.com/GeekscapeGives2023, and check out where we're at on our donations. Right now, we're starting our next block of holiday streaming, of cheer. And I got to tell you, our good friend Chris Fafalios loves pop culture. Chris's family, he's been family before Geekscape. He came from the band Punchline. And I first met Punchline in 2004, started Geekscape in 2006. Now you got a bit of the chronology. If you're listening to this later on the podcast stream, on the as an MP3 or whatever, maybe it's on Spotify, well, enjoy. This is taken from the live stream that Matt, Kelly, and I recorded Friday night along with the rest of the Geekscape network. And speaking of Matt Kelly, he's been streaming all day. I started this little stream with him at 6 a.m. this morning, but it started long before that. Matt's been working on this for at least 6 months, if not the entire year, putting together these interstitials, these commercials, these guest appearances in these games from all across the Geekscape network and our huge network of friends. So I want to invite Matt on right now to talk to you live or recorded for the podcast to basically get a bit of the Geekscape State of the Union. Matt, I was thinking about opening up the Spotify megaphone back end of the Geekscape network. I think you and I are one of three people that have access to all the shows on the back end, but you really are the one in there pulling the gears and the levers. And I kind of wanted to go like show by show and be like, what is this? Because honestly, I found myself in a situation. I don't know if you heard the live episode we did at LA Comic Con, the panel episode. Did you notice that I was in a situation where I was like, hey, we just added all these different shows and I'm trying to lay the railroad track live as I'm on a panel, of course. And I'm not working with a whole lot of brain power to begin with, but I wanted to just start shouting out some of the shows that weren't the regulars, right? Like I'm always going to say, you know, horror movie night, Bingetown TV. You know, I love One Hit Thunder. I think One Hit Thunder is like an adjacent. Sometimes it's on a live stream. It's a Geekscape show. Otherwise, it's like, you know, a sister show or this or that. I just want to think about all the different cool shows we have. And it has grown like a weed in the last year so aggressively that do we add like categories? Do we do something where it's like, hey, if you're into this, these are the three or four shows that fit that category. If you are into this, there's eight shows. I mean, Bingetown TV is an entire hallway in the it's an entire like wing of the mansion, it feels like. Does that make sense? And then we got the Shane O'Hare shows, which is like the basement.
Yeah, well, John, before we dive into any of that, I do have some really exciting news.
Okay, great. Let's, pump the brakes.
We are at $1,000 already.
Oh, cool. Means, that's great.
Like, so as I've been saying, I feel like the 3,000 is an end of the month goal, right?
Yes.
This is like the big push at the start of the month to get going. We are a third of the way to our goal within less than 24 hours.
And we are less than a third of the way through the month.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, as long as we're making sure that we pump that link and we I've been putting it in the show notes of all of my podcast episodes when I drop them out there and just talk it up. I think we can do this. And, you know, you were here in the beginning when we talked to Charlene and we discussed what the Big Brothers, Big Sisters can be and how it really connects with Geekscape for the audio sake of this. If you're listening and you missed the live stream, tinyurl.com/GeekscapeGives2023. But I needed to shout that out. That just happened. And because we're going to talk about all of our shows, I know for a fact that the donation that got us to 1,000 was actually from Kathleen from Bingetown, who texted me and said, we need to at least get to 1,000. So I made the donation to make it happen.
Well, Kathleen, I hope you're watching because one of the things that Matt and I do every year, and I actually, as soon as we started the stream this morning, I applied for our San Diego Comic-Con hotel rooms again. And I would love to find a way to get the Bingetown folks out to San Diego or have them involved in any of the cool West Coast stuff that we do, like this past LA Comic-Con this past weekend. I know that it's in October next year.
That might be a lot more manageable for me.
I don't know, man. You're a big holiday Halloween head, so that's like... Dude, Matt, every LA year, Comic-Con, my birthday, this live stream, and the holiday travel coming up next week, and all this stuff, like, this has been psychotic. And
it was, that's what I mean. But, I don't like coming out to LA Comic-Con because it's almost always the week right before this live stream, and I'm like, I can't be gone for five days.
Like, I see the wisdom in that. Okay, so Matt, what I've done right now, I'm just going to tell you right now. I've pulled up the Geekscape roster. And I'm not going to include the stuff that you've taken on as an independent contractor, as a podcast producer, the Matt Kelly production stuff. I'm not Matt Kelly podcast. I'm not including that stuff. That's Matt Kelly Productions. Okay. So we got, I'm just not going to count the Bingetown TV shows. I'm just going to like the Bingetown podcast. Like that's just its own umbrella. And I, and again, like if the Bingetown town folks are like, if you guys are, watching this, like we need to talk more because the amount of people in TV that I meet all the time, I think would be great resources for the folks in Bingetown. I'm watching that Monarch show. I really enjoy Monarch. I think it's fun to see a show dedicated to the legendary, like, pictures Godzilla era. And sure enough, our friend Chris Black, who was on, if you Geekscapists have been listening to the Geekscape feed, Chris Black was on our San Diego Comic-Con screenwriting show talking about screenwriting. And he was also on years ago with Patrick Fugit talking about a show called Outcast that was on, I think they were calling it Cinemax back in the time, or it was just Max or whatever the rebrand was. But Chris is great, and he's co-running Monarch, and it's a cool Godzilla show. I think it's a lot of fun. But people like that I'm always like looking for ways to promote them on Geekscape, and Bingetown would be a great landing spot for some of those interviews and conversations. Okay, so I'm just not going to include them, but let's see, Matt, let's see if you have enough fingers for this stuff. But like, we got the whole Bingetown umbrella. All right. Before My Time with Gelsie Laurie.
It's been on a bit of a hiatus, coming back in the new year. We've already been texting, working out plans with that.
Okay, cancel it.
Okay. It's gone.
No, I'm kidding. No. I like Gelsie. I'm joking. I like Gelsie a lot. She's fantastic, and I think the show's hilarious. Okay, Bulletproof Podcast is an action podcast that I brought in, and I love those guys. They were big fans of Paul's, and we were just talking. Campfire Ashes. What is that, Matt? I'm auditing you. You know that,
that's
right?
That's fine. Okay. So Campfire Ashes. What is Campfire Ashes? Campfire Ashes, they were part of the early portion of this live stream. Mm-hmm. It is my friend Paul, who runs a cosplay agency called Ashen Phoenix. And one of his cosplayers, Justina, is also a published author of short, scary novellas. Every week they trade on writing a scary story based on some piece of like actual urban legend. And they will tell the short story, and then they'll go into depth about the history of the urban legend or cryptozoological creature, whatever, that inspired that particular story.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah,
that sounds awesome.
And bite-sized 25 minutes, you get a story, you get a little bit of history, and you're out.
Okay, that can stay. No, and I'll tell you why I like it. Keith Trailins, who used to run LA Comic Con, he works for a group now promoting like the biggest LARP in Europe. It's in Germany. And this group is trying to make things stateside, and they want Geekscape to promote them. They wanted to send me like a ton of like cosplay and LARPing costumes and like wizard robes and stuff. And like, I don't even know where to put that stuff, but I want to find ways to continue like our partnerships with groups like that. But knowing that I have a show like Campfire Ashes that has cosplay built into it, I think that's fun. Okay. Christmas 365. I'm not questioning that. That is a juggernaut. I just saw the numbers. They're already kicking up. You know what? From March to November, I kind of question it. But then I look at those numbers for those acute winter months, and that thing is a juggernaut. We got Comics Decode. What is that, Matt? It doesn't have an episode yet. Is that a preview? Is that coming up down the pipe? Is that a preview that I just threw out there?
No, Comics Decode is Garrett's last podcast that he released a single episode of, decided he didn't want to do it, and pulled the episode. We still just...
Garrett, I love you. You guys have heard Garrett on the Geekscape podcast. Oh my God, we joked that he's my ward. I love Garrett. He's now doing his podcast independently, and I love you, Garrett. Come home if you want to come home. If not, you're out there like finding your way, like Bill Bixby and the Incredible Hulk. Are the Disneyto getting drunk and talking about Disney folks back? Are they on hiatus?
So our one co-host, Andrew, moved to like the other side of Pennsylvania for a couple years. He's actually moving to Lancaster next year. So I think we're going to start that back up, because the problem is we've tried to do that show virtually, and part of the fun was them getting drunk on wine in front of each other. It was like, they all need to be in the same place. It'll probably become a monthly show though, just kind of breaking down whatever Disney news comes out that particular month.
Okay, Geekscapers. And I got to tell you, Geekscapers, we are bringing in some really great numbers every month, and it's starting to not just be the bigger five shows that were a part of this network. And what's so awesome about where we've been just in the last year, Geekscape, is that the numbers for the Geekscape network have started to work the way that Matt and I wanted them to work, where just the association with each other and shout outs like I'm doing right now. Like maybe a show that I'm about to mention is something that you're like, oh, that's coming down the pipe. I want to know more about Comics Decode. Just kidding. Not that one. But maybe as you're, Garrett, I love you. Come back home. Maybe as things are like, maybe like we mentioned something and you're like, oh, I got to check into Geekscape and see when that comes back. Cause I think we have a lot of Disney fans and that would be fun for them. So watch this space. Double Count Out Podcast is a wrestling podcast.
That's long dead. That was canceled.
I'm hitting.
I think our last episode was in 2017. I think we put out six episodes and called it. It was
okay.
We're hitting Derek, Josh, Jackson, and I. But
okay, that thing has been counted out.
Yep.
All right, they got the 10 count out of the ring. Gone. The Dynamic Resolution, the video game podcast here on the Geekscape Network. Just cancel that. All right, moving on.
Did you watch their segment? It was
I was working.
Yeah, that was a good call. Wild? Oh my god, it was so. Here's the thing: it was both the most disgusting thing I've watched, but I also could not stop laughing. The setup. I think I told you a little. Bit about
like you
could
dip Oreos not just in milk, but you're dipping an Oreo in different kind of liquids. And with those guys, I can only imagine what some of those fluids started being.
So the one that shattered
no,
me.
No spoilers will be done on this podcast.
I don't know, man. I don't know if we can put this back. I think this was if you watched it, you saw it.
No, wait, Matt. We got to take this episode. We got to isolate it. And we have to use it as a threat to Santa.
Vomits. Shane like full on vomits.
No, listen. Listen. Rules are rule. Was vomit one of the dunkable liquids?
I think he almost. So here's because
I would then propose it then becomes a dunkable liquid once it's present in the game.
So the best part of this entire video, which is no shocker to anybody, is just the constant running commentary from Derek. Like...
And so Logan is saying that it tastes the same if he just dunks Oreos in different fluids. And he's going like milk, water, worse.
I think this time they already tried the Oreo stuff on the podcast. So this time it was M&M, M&M chocolate chip cookies.
You know, okay. Yeah, you could leave those out for Santa. It has to be Santa.
It was Santa.
It has to be something. Yeah, it has to be something you'd leave out for Santa.
They dipped it in soda. Yeah. They dipped it in eggnog.
Okay. Eggnogs. Yeah.
They dipped it in chicken broth, may have been the part where Shane broke. then each one of them brought their own mystery liquid to the arena.
Shane re-upped with some vomit. They all had to do it?
They all had to do it.
Purple Zebra over there on YouTube. You called it. He said, "No, Matt, I'm getting that video."
Okay,
if you can go back to your VHS and start pulling clips of Derek brought 16-year-old scotch. Oh my goodness! Like only on Geekscape, folks. The Christmas cookie challenge. I think that's an annual thing, though. I hate to say it. I think that's an annual thing.
I will shout out the other thing that needs to be shouted out. It's one of the only shows that's not on our megaphone, and they just crushed their segment a few minutes ago.
Okay.
Is obviously Nate and Bacon at 91 Donkey Lane.
That's they're a Geekscape show.
Yeah.
They're a Geekscape show.
The Poof the Magic Game Show segment that they just did is without a competition. They've done it every single year that we've done this live stream. Without competition, the best Poof the Magic Game Show segment they've ever done, ever.
They're geniuses, and I loved playing it a couple years ago with Katie and those guys because they're comedic geniuses, and Katie's a comedic genius. And then you throw them in with that, and I was just kind of like sitting in the back, being like, "Hey, every now and then I'll say something." All right, we got what else? We got. I love the Femme Regard podcast. It's a great film. I love having a filmmaking podcast on here. We got. Well, I'm skipping Final Frontier. Maybe it'll come back. Maybe it won't. Flicker Effect. That sounds like it's rocking. I'm really kind of going to leave a bottom here. If you don't, if you have like less than 20 podcast episodes, I'm not going to really name you.
Yeah,
Flicker Effect sounds great. Fright School. I know the Fright School kids. Galactica, actually, that's the Battlestar Galactica show. Cancel it. No, that's Diallo's show. I love it. The Geekscape Book Club. That's Christian Blatt's Geekscape Book Club. Picking a different comic or trade every month and talking about it. Cancel it. No, I'm kidding. I love them. Horror Movie Night. Love it. Jersey Ghouls. Thank you so much for bringing them into Geekscape. They're awesome. Marvel Movie Talk. Yeah, somebody's got to talk about Captain Marvel if 17 times.
It's such a void on the internet otherwise.
Where can I get my people talking about the MCU?
You know what? Look, joking aside, some of those interviews that Christian pulls out of nowhere for Marvel Movie Talk, you look at the numbers on the YouTube views, and it is very impressive what he's done in a very short period of time with that stuff.
Agreed. And we have... If you listen to Geekscape, the new Geekscape episode that we just put on the feed, that was awesome. Jeremy Kuhn, who produced and co-directed the new documentary on, I think it's on HBO Max of all places, but it's a documentary on the making and behind the scenes of the like really infamous Star Wars Holiday Special that they aired once and never aired again, and had all the stars from Star Wars on it, all the bells and whistles, and it was awful.
Yep.
And then they made a documentary about it. Matt Mania podcast, that's coming back.
That's coming back. T-Call hit us up.
T-Call.
And I think the plan is, I mean, I'll shoot a flare up into the sky. Mm-hmm. Teek and I are supposed to talk shortly after this live stream. I had to be completely honest with him, and I was just like, hey, man. Let's talk after December 8th because I am drowning right now.
Yeah.
But I think the goal is that while it is still going to be him and G1 to the rescue and occasionally Mega Ran, he wants to pull in all of the Geekscapists with podcasts who love wrestling. So Derek and Joshua, get ready. Dylan,
Derek and Joshua are going to scroll all the way down and tell you about
heart and joy of your life right now.
Oh my God. I got to tell you, they've got this Territory Marks, a wrestling podcast. My brother and Zach Schaefer, wrestling fans, if you want to hear like a wrestling podcast that is like, you know,
historical deep dive into
behind
like
the scenes
matches. Yeah.
And my brother, you know, he wrestled for Vince. He did his time, and now he's on this podcast with Zach. I love it, man.
Lease on life.
My brother's doing like a new era. He opened up this wrestling school in Southgate. They just had this preview night last night where his wrestling students were doing matches and it was free. They had a ton of people there. Like, my brother is having this like renaissance, and it's because this man, Zach Schaefer, who
I was going to say, amazing. I feel like even as recently as your wedding, so a little over a year ago, it would be like pulling teeth to get Paul to actually want to talk about something wrestling. But now it's almost, it's like the twinkle in his eye is back, talking about the stuff that made him love wrestling in the first place with these old 80s matches and feuds and bringing his heart and soul back into it. It's great.
This Zach Schaefer guy, I could kiss him.
Zach the Lego Maniac, as we learned.
Zach the Lego Maniac. We got, what else we got? We got Jersey Ghouls, love them, Marvel 2. Okay, well, let me go. Maximum Mediocrity, what is that?
So Maximum Mediocrity has been on a very long hiatus. They're going to maybe come back. So their whole thing is we interview people who aren't famous but should be, where they just sit down. But they actually have a new show that I'm even more interested in getting our hooks into called Anime is Trash, where they break down some of the more popular animes and why they are a waste of time. And that's coming from two people who adore anime. It is from like that it's similar to what Horror Movie Night is to horror movies, where we love it but we're critical of it. That's what they're doing with anime. They just they were over here the other night for a Christmas party, and we're very excited that they had like officially put out their first episode. And I said, all right, after the live stream, let's get you guys moved onto Geekscape and get that going. So
that seems amazing. I think when this live action Avatar The Last Airbender comes on. I've got this guest, Matt, who I met at the Immortal Studios Wuxia event.
Yeah.
And his name is Khifu. He has a character in Avatar Last Airbender, the animated, like named after him, based on him. And I got to tell you, he was the guy who all the movements for the elements was based on. He taught them how, he like showed them how they should move and what they should do. So he's like an advisor for Avatar Last Airbender. And I met him and I was like, dude, I got to have you on the podcast. And he's like, I've seen Geekscape. I would like to be on. I will text you, put your number in my phone. And I get, by the time I got home from downtown, there's a text that just says, I am Khifu. And I was like, oh boy, this guy wants to be on Geekscape. Oh, that's going to be a crazy episode. If you, especially if you guys are into Avatar Last Airbender and martial arts. All right, we got more men in their 30s. They're no longer in their 30s. All those dudes were probably in their 50s by now. That thing's been such a hiatus, hasn't it?
But hey, that thing deserves to at least get
remembered in time.
Get remembered in time. Because, okay, man, I know that you are a loyal listener. I've told Chris a million times that there will be random days where the No Bees, No Meat song from one of their first episodes just pops into my head.
Chris Folios, if you're watching this, Chris, I remember being on a road race in Napa in a group of a bunch of randos. Like, I went like potluck on a van full of people, like runners. And I was like, and they were like, hey, Jonathan, you got any music to play? And I played that No Beat, No Bees song. And they were like, get the out of that van.
Which, for those of you, because this is a deep cut. This is a deep, deep cut.
Chris, you almost got me thrown out of a van, bro.
And Chris, you can let us know in the comments if I have this wrong. But Chris basically just posted a fake Craigslist ad that he had free bees and meat to give away, and that to call a Google voice number to let him know. And then it was just a collection of the voice messages he got from people calling about the bees and the meat and him saying that he's all out of bees, all out of meat.
I think we bring that back. But men in their 30s, I just remember they were like, Jonathan, you got to be on. And then it went so long that none of us were in our 30s anymore. What happened was Mike Sabosley posted it without Chris. We posted it with Chris's number, just like, yeah, prank. Chris posted the Craigslist ad for free meat and bees, and people were calling Chris, which is a pretty good prank, asking for the meat and bees, and now Chris had to go and make a song about it. That's a good one. My favorite episode of, like, that thing just became a juggernaut. They have an episode that just,
we haven't released
out
an episode in,
I know,
in 3 years.
Matt, look
that's
at
the power
this
of the back catalog. Oh, I know. That John Denver Muppets episode came out of fucking nowhere.
I looked up and I was like, how is that back in the top 10? And it just rocked out. Napping through happy hour. Love it. Love it. Love it. Playing with Squirrels, a Boy Meets World fan cast. Matt, you wanted to go through every Boy Meets World podcast episode.
You know
again,
what? No, I was ahead of the curve, because now the actual cast is doing it.
I know. I saw it. And
which,
I remember,
funny enough, when that podcast got announced, if you look through the history on Megaphone, the Playing with Squirrels podcast had a huge bump for a small period of time.
People were looking for it, and they're like, Ryder Strong lied to us. Here's a pretty funny story about when I just moved to LA. My buddy Brandon from Austin was like, hey, a buddy of mine needs to move a couch. He just moved in with his brother. And I remember going like just off Santa Monica Boulevard into this house, in like helping people move a couch. It was Ryder Strong. And like Ryder Strong, I remember helping Ryder Strong for like half a day move furniture because he was friends with my friend Brandon through some random Hollywood connection. And then I saw Ryder Strong at like South by Southwest like that year. And we hung out for a bit and I never talked to Ryder Strong again. But I definitely remember helping him move a couch. And when he popped up with that Boy Meets World deep dive every episode podcast, I was like, they owe Matt Kelly some money, I think.
So the funniest, a very quick funny story is that podcast did a live episode in Philly this summer, because they were mm-hmm. they took the podcast on the road, and frequent guest on One Hit Thunder, Matt DiStefano, who was here for the One Hit Thunder music trivia contest.
I love Matt DiStefano.
He went to it and he dressed as a character. He was cosplaying as a character from Boy Meets World, and he bumped into another friend of the podcast, Tommy Avalone. And he said, you know, you're one of the two people I expect to see here. It's you and Matt Kelly. And Tom Avalone very correctly predicted Matt Kelly doesn't leave his house for shit. Which,
Matt, we got to get you to leave your house.
Look, I'll leave my house for something fun and affordable, but I'm not paying no like $40, $50 to go see a podcast live in the city. No.
Hold up. What were tickets?
I think they were like $30, $40, or even $50, depending on where your seats were, because it was in like a legitimate theater. Yeah, like
Red or Strong, I demand that you come on the Geekscape podcast and explain yourself. I mean, renting those theaters is expensive. There's no way I have Red or Strong's number still.
But I do love your head looking down to check.
Matt, if I have Red or Strong.
Just call him right now.
I'm gonna put him on. I was gonna put him on. I don't have his number anymore. I was gonna put it on speaker and be like, "What the hell you doing, man?" First off, that $30-$40 needs to go to Matt Kelly because you ripped off his podcast idea. All right. Let's keep going on the Geekscape roster because this is for my own freaking edification.
Find Ryder Strong's number, post it online, and say that he has some free meat and freebies.
Mike Sabosley, if you could find Ryder Strong's number. My writer's going to be like, I still have your number. What the hell are you doing? Superhero stuff you should know.
What an unexpected juggernaut for us as well. Like,
and I got to tell you,
I
loved hanging out with Ben Wan all weekend. He was awesome. He was on our panel, and I just met Ben at a screenwriting event, and he had watched some of my hosting at conventions. We talked Geekscape, and he said he did this podcast about lost media, basically, like. So for superhero, like if you're what happened to like the third idea for a Tim Burton Superman movie or a Batman movie? Like what would, if Tim Burton had not left the Batman franchise, what would that third movie have been like? And they make it and they find out about it. And they give you all the factoids of like what they were planning, and they wanted to do Two-Face, but ultimately it was like, oh, what's his name? It's not like Lando Calrissian's not that big of a star anymore. Yeah. We got to get
Tommy Lee Jones. Yeah.
And then nobody wanted to do it.
Something that came up on their segment. So they were kind of one of the first segments to kick off this live stream. They were comparing the Batman Returns comic book adaptation to the movie and pointing out where the differences were and what was based off of the original script when they were making the comic book and so on and so forth. But they pointed out that the comic book has a deleted scene in it. That's in the script, but not in the movie. And that on a previous episode of the show, they brought that actor into the studio and they re-record it on their podcast, the lost dialogue scenes with him from, like, it seems like it's a real like time capsule of lost media. It's not just like, hey, let's talk about this. I was like, let's find a way to like recreate and preserve some of the lost media as well.
Of this Batman Returns scene that didn't happen. Well, I mean, didn't make it to the screen. What else we got here? We got tons of, there's so much Bingetown stuff. I love it. There's Territory Marks. We've got, let's see, I think we're near the end. The Roaring Twenties is a Matt Kelly production.
That's a Matt Kelly production.
We got Tudor Late Fee, who I love more than anything. Undiscovered Scripts, movies made of paper. I was over at America Young's house yesterday.
Think they're bringing that back soon?
We talked. Yeah. We actually talked about some new ideas, Matt. I don't mean to burden you with new podcasts, but we talked about new ideas with some of America Young's collaborators, women who want to join the network. And I love having a diverse network. And we just kind of talked about how it could be sustainable because Undiscovered Scripts really has a lot of production value to it.
It's a lot of work. It does. I think one of the episodes like popped off a couple months ago out of nowhere. So it's one of those things where, again, that's the big secret that a lot of people lose. Chris and I both preach about it all the time with We Know Podcasting is like, you're creating evergreen content. Like, even if you stop doing that show, you never know. You said with my favorite episode of too, like you never know when just one random episode will catch fire for no explainable reason one week.
Unstable Topics. Great new addition. Show. I love it. Weird Algorithm. Canceled. No, I love the Weird Algorithm. What Should I Watch Next? It has 6 episodes. What is that, Matt?
That's more Bingetown. That's another Bingetown spinoff series.
Oh my God. I know. I love you guys. White People Problems, an OC podcast. There's 51 episodes of that thing?
There's 96 episodes total of the OC. So it went, it was four seasons, but it was four seasons in the mid-2000s where each season was like 27 episodes.
Are you guys going to finish the mission?
Yeah, we're going to finish the mission.
You guys are going to keep talking about the OC every episode?
Well, until we finish the series, then who knows what happens.
All right.
Then it might become White People Problems, a Pretty Little Liars podcast. I don't know. We'll just,
oh my God.
There's plenty of other teen dramas that are just about white people's problems.
Oh no. and then Xbox Game Passengers is Derek's Xbox.
I want that show to come back so bad.
I do too. I love Derek, and I love that he has an independent podcast and voice, and I would love for him to do it. But that's on Derek. And
yeah, I'm trying to.
We will be here to support him.
The only other shows that have not migrated over yet.
Okay, what else? We have more shows.
Yeah, so we said 91 Donkey Lane, Analog Jones. Analog Jones still hasn't made the move. A lot of that, I think, is just Stephen Bay having Stephen Bay-Bays, which takes up a little bit of time. And then Waifus Weeaboos.
Our other anime podcast.
That are our other anime podcast. And I think that's literally the whole
roster, the
whole thing right there
as of now. But Matt Kelly and I will be adding to it.
I have a few that I'm working with right now. The one that I am very excited about, because of course I am, I'm Matt Kelly, why wouldn't I love this, is this guy Gary, who I'm not going to attempt to say his last name because I will do a terrible job with it. He was in a ska band called the Backyard Superheroes. He is a huge fan of Geekscape. He like knows you, but he does a podcast with his friends called the Monster Rally Podcast that is just about the history of Universal monsters from the 30s, 40s, and 50s. Where they're going through that entire catalog of stuff. And they're just at the point now in the show where they're like on the Creature of the Black Lagoon, which is kind of the end of the original Universal run. So I messaged him and was like, what is the next, what's next? Are you just done the show? And he's like, well, no, now we're going to dive in to all of the attempts to reboot the Universal monsters from the 60s on, like do the Hammer horror stuff, do the like. So I'm like, oh, this is going to be like a really cool deep dive into what I think most of us as horror fans entry level was seeing those old black and white classic horror movies and becoming obsessed with stuff like Dracula and Frankenstein,
Matt,
and Wolfman and the Mummy.
Are we getting a little too horror heavy over here on the Geekscape?
Well, that's why we have to start our side sister podcast that's just a collection of horror podcasts.
Here's the thing, Geekscape, is horror is such a massive, like aggressive market. Vertical, especially in podcasting, that we'll take on all the horror shows. We got to get some of that true crime. What we need is Chris Fafalios to start solving murders or crimes or committing them. And then podcasting about them so we can get in that true crime vertical.
Are you suggesting Chris pull like a Nightcrawler? Like he's committing the crimes, but he's also reporting on them?
I'm just saying, Matt, that whatever Chris decides to do with his life, we would need to be there for him and allow him to have a podcast here about it. And like that's kind of what we do for a lot of our friends. I know there are some friends of mine who I'm trying to get to have podcasts over here on the network. I think we clearly have a horror podcast in this cookie contest, the cookie dipping contest. But yeah, we can do this. We can do this. So Matt, speaking of monsters, I'm starting to think about my top five movies of 2023. You know, we used to do this all the time, like on the website. We used to be really religious about it. But I was thinking today about how rarely are all five of these movies that are my tops for the year genre geek movies. But Monday, I went out the day before my birthday and was like, F it. I'm burnt out from working. I've been writing two projects at once. I want to go see a movie and put some more inspiration into my brain jellies. And everyone was talking about this damn Godzilla Minus One movie. And when people start hyping it up on the internet, I'm like, it's a little too much hype. I doubt it'll hold up. I doubt it'll be, I doubt it'll be up to snuff. And I drag Heidi out on a night that she's tired. to go see this Godzilla Minus One. And I tell you, Matt, the movie lives up to its hype.
Nice.
And right now, I think it's breaking different Japanese film in America, like American box office for Japanese films. As far as genre movies go, and it had like a limited window, which I think a lot of the theaters were only playing it up until now. And now they're starting to think like, hey, how can I get this Godzilla Minus One back in theaters? But the movie is awesome. And I think it's one of the top five Godzilla movies, period. Matt, are you paying attention to me texting somebody?
No. I'm now you're talking and I'm like, shit, I don't even remember what movies from 2023. It's also my
Letterbox. Well, listen, stay with me. Yeah. I'm going to tell you what I'm you need to watch. These are the five you needed to watch. Okay. Across the Spider-Verse. That's got to be there. Okay. Across the Spider-Verse. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem. That is a top five movie. Did you see that? Did you see Mutant Mayhem?
I know.
Matt, what do you even listen to Geekscape? You aren't going to take my recommendations. I told you to go see the Mutant Mayhem.
Theater so quick.
Tyler Morden told you to see the Mutant Mayhem. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem.
I want
to
see it.
You should have seen the Mutant Mayhem in theaters. It was awesome.
It was.
Those are two animated movies that are already in the top five for me. And I'm probably going to add A Boy and the Heron this time next week when the new Miyazaki movie gets gleamed across my eyeballs. I can't wait to see it. I'm going to end up having three freaking animated movies in the top five at the end of this year. It never happened before. But this Godzilla Minus One is going to be in there, dude. This thing, Matt, you would love this.
I know. I know, listen, I'm going to look.
God damn it, Matt. Go back to the
You know
your
my
phone.
Last 6 months have been planning this thing. Now I can finally do stuff.
Geekscape is, please donate so this kid doesn't like climb down a chimney and end up like a gremlin segment. Listen, so Matt, the movie opens and it's in the last months of World War II and you have this plane coming in and it needs maintenance and it comes into this island, right? And these Japanese engineers are there to fix the planes. And you find out very quickly that it's flown by a kamikaze pilot who is claiming a malfunction in his plane. And when they check the plane, they're like, we don't really see anything wrong. Are you sure? And he's like, check it again. But that night, when the lights go down and the sun sets, there's a Godzilla attack. But it's not like Godzilla we've seen on film. I looked at this Godzilla and I was like, whoa, they made Godzilla way smaller and he's lizard-like. He's like more like a raptor, but a big-ass raptor. He's big. He's lizard-like. And you realize later in the movie, because like, it kills everybody. But yeah. Him and one of the other engineers, like, just fucking slaughters them. They tell him to get in the back of the plane and point the gun at it. And he blinks. He doesn't do it. And then they start firing and they all die. And so now he blames himself, A, for being a deserter and not being a kamikaze pilot that like then claims his own life. You know how kamikazes work.
Yeah.
And he also blames himself for not pulling the trigger on this mini god, this smaller version of Godzilla. Because years later, when he gets back to Japan, it's in ruins. It's like a month or two later. He's walking through the ruins. He goes back to his childhood home. His parents are dead. A lot of people are dead. And his neighbor comes up to him and is like, what are you doing? Michael, why are you here? Why are you alive?
Yeah.
You were a kamikaze pilot. You were supposed to like honorably die for our nation. My kids would maybe all of us would like they'd all still be alive if you had done your duty to Japan. And now he's really guilty.
Yeah.
And he finds a woman and an abandoned baby and he brings them in and they start to develop this life together. And like the months go by and you start to find out about this Godzilla, like it's now coming to Japan and he takes a job sweeping mines in Japanese harbor, in the ocean outside Japan, because there's like 60,000 mines floating around and they're bringing them in. And while they're out there on the boat, Godzilla. But now Godzilla's way better. And Godzilla's like straight up chomping through freaking ships at this point. Like now it's the Godzilla we know. And he could have killed this thing when it was smaller. And so now he's got super guilt and he's like, holy shit, I could have killed this Godzilla when it was younger. I blinked. I'm a coward. And now I'm coming after this Godzilla. And if there's a mission to take out this Godzilla, you put me in it. I'm going to need a plane. Like, it is an awesome movie. And you know what? Here's the thing about that movie and why it's good and why Heidi stayed awake the entire damn time, even though she wanted to go to sleep before we even left the house. It's good, Matt. Without, like, how many horror movies do you see on Horror Movie Night where, if even without the monster, without the killer, it would have been a good movie? This is one of those movies. Yeah. I could have just watched this dude in post-World War II Japan doing his deal, trying to put his life back together, trying to find some normalcy amongst the destruction, but it's got Godzilla in it, so it's an added bonus. So I think, Matt, we need all these movies to also have Godzilla in it. So the only way I'm going to watch this Killers of the Flower Moon
is if Godzilla shows up.
Gojira.
Yeah, no, I like that plan. Sorry.
I think we do this.
I gotta ask, so you've named four of the potential top five.
Okay.
So, I mean, here's one that I'm going to throw out that I think a lot of people forgot about because it came out so early in the year.
Okay.
That Dungeons and Dragons Honor Among Thieves movie was definitely, I'm not sure about top five, but definitely top 10.
I love that movie. I saw it twice in theaters. And I rarely see anything twice in theaters, but that, I love that movie. God, it felt good to just have a fun Dungeons and Dragons movie. And here's the thing, straight from Hasbro's mouth, a buddy of mine works over there. And he's like, you know what our approach to Dungeons and Dragons is? We can let Lord of the Rings and we can let all these other companies, Game of Thrones, do fantasy really seriously. If we do Dungeons and Dragons, we're going to make it feel like you're playing Dungeons and Dragons. So that means having fun with your friends and having a rip-roaring time with some snacks and calling each other names and having fun. Chris Vallis agrees. He says Dungeons and Dragons is a big time best picture contender. I had so much damn fun watching it. Shane O'Hara says, you think our unhinged posting wouldn't come from the guy who puked in a ramen cup? No, Matt.
That was.
We can't have Shane, no more cookie contest for you. Okay, everybody else, but no
everyone
more
else, contest. Not Shane. I'm looking. Like I said, I'm scrolling through this letterbox to see, like, what did I watch this year? Did you happen to watch? I feel like it did not get nearly enough credit when it came out. I don't think Apple TV's bad at pushing any of its stuff. Did you watch the Michael J. Fox documentary Still?
Yeah.
Holy crap. What, like that, that was a, I mean, it, that's the thing that's tough about when you're trying to rank the movies of the year is you almost want to break it into all these individual categories. Cause how do you put a documentary up against like
Serena? Serena is about to go watch the RoboCop documentary done by the folks who did the Robert Englund documentary.
Yeah,
that I had on Geekscape. Like, enjoy Serena; those dudes are Gary and they're awesome kids. I like having those kids on the podcast. Okay, so we got Still.
Also, Barbie. Got to throw Barbie out there.
Barbie was good. Barbie was awesome.
A movie that I learned through this podcast actually, Pinball, The Man Who Saved the Game.
Oh my! Listen, and I saw it show up on some like big label, like magazine site, like a GQ or Wired or one of those, and they were like, "Here's the movie you've never heard about that's one of the best of the year." And I was like, "Mofos, I done heard about that." I went right up to those guys after the screening at a film festival and said, "Please come on Geekscape. Your movie is effing awesome, and the geeks gave us need to know about it. Pinball, the Man Who Saved the Game is a great movie. I love that movie. And Juan Wants to Fight on Hulu is a fun movie. Did you watch Brooklyn versus the Vampires? No, Vampires versus the Bronx?
Yes.
This guy followed it up with a movie called, I think it's Jose Wants to Fight or Juan Wants to Fight, about a guy who's always ducking her out when his friends get in this, like a rumble.
Yeah.
These high school friends. And finally, he finds out that his mom took a job at a nearby town. And he's like, you know what? I'm always ducking out. My friend's getting like a local neighborhood fight. I want to finally fight. And if you like stuff like 3 o'clock High, which is a overlooked 80s classic, 3 o'clock High is amazing. You got to watch this one. It's a Hulu exclusive. And it is so much fun. And it's hilarious. And it has references to all the awesome, it has a lot of anime references to it. Like, these kids are into anime. And what's funny is they got people in like their 20s to play them, but they're playing like younger people. So it kind of feels a bit like a Lonely Island movie where you have like people who are older acting a little younger, but they're all about anime and they all want to like Hadouken people in fights. And they're not great fighters, but they're always trying to do stuff like anime style. and One Punch Man style, and that's kind of the fun of it, is they don't know what the fuck they're doing, but it's fun to see them try. So I think that's a great one too. It's been a good year. We haven't heard a lot about too many big Oscar contenders, but as far as the geeks go,
this is a good year for geeks.
As
long as you weren't watching half of the comic book content,
Miguel wants coming to fight. The name of the movie is Miguel Wants to Fight. And I know there's lots of talk about the failure of comic book movies this year, but we still got Guardians of the Galaxy 3, which I thought was really good.
I actually don't think my favorite is nearly as bad as people make it out to be. In the grand
you heard my Marvels episode.
Yeah. I mean, Flash still exists.
This movie gave us Blue Beetle. Yeah. Blue Beetle was so much fun. Blue Beetle's up there. For me, Blue Beetle's up there.
I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. But I think it's more for you. Like, that is a movie for your community.
Latinos.
You know what I mean? Like, that's like, I'm watching it. I'm like,
Latino
hey,
Iron
the
Man.
People, that's what I mean. I'm like, the people who this movie is made for, I'm so glad that they have this. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of my perspective. When people, like, complain about something like the Marvels, it's like, yeah, but then just sit next to any girl who's like in all of what they're being able to see. You know what
Did
I mean?
Did you
like,
see Christian Blatt's daughter's face when she took a photo with Miss Marvel? We talked about it, Geekscapist, on the live episode at ACC, because both Josh and Christian were in line to meet the actress who plays Miss Marvel, and the line was like 50 hours long. But when Christian's daughter took this picture after she got her Funko Pop autographed, that pretty much tells you everything you need to know about how important those movies are for people. How the power of cinema for a community. And I thought, that pretty much justifies all the Marvel this and that.
When everyone's preparing to rewatch every single second of this live stream that they missed, at the top of the hour on part three of the four parts that we released this in, Marvel Movie Talk, we show that picture. The episode ends with us showing that picture of Christian's daughter, and it's just, you can see what this stuff, like, it's stuff like that where it's like, that is the power of inclusivity. I almost got that word right.
That's right. but honestly, like, if you people have to, and it's hard, you know, as geeks, we've grown up and we feel isolated, and especially me, like, when I was in high school, in middle school, getting punished for reading comics and all this stuff and working in the comic store. And I would literally, outside the comic store window in high school, I would be on a Friday night doing inventory. And all the kids who I go to high school with would be rallying in the parking lot outside. And I would come out and I'd be like, what are y'all up to? They'd say nothing. And then they would all caravan out of the parking lot and go to somebody's house for a party that I would hear about on Monday. And it happened without fail every weekend that I just would not get invited to the party. It was like, leave it, stay out of it, nerd.
Yeah.
And I think that things like bullying have been addressed a little better. I think people are still mean, and especially the internet is a horrid place. But you can be very isolated as a geek growing up and thinking, am I the only person that's into this? And over the last 15 years, it's been amazing to see this stuff in a Cineplex. And yes, some of the movies don't hold up. Some of them maybe something happens in the assembly line of Hollywood. These movies don't always end up as bangers. But if you have something that you don't like, and all you got to do is like step outside of your shoes, get rid of the geek isolationism that you've been bred into by the pain of rejection, and just look at how it puts a smile on somebody else. And for me, like, Blue Beetle was, I didn't think I was going to get a Latino superhero like that. And a part of me was like, why are they doing Ted Kord? And then I watched the movie and I'm like, oh, they totally did Ted Kord. Ted Kord's a huge part of that movie. And that white character, Ted Kord, can be in a later Blue Beetle as a mentor. But having like that Jaime Reyes character be at the forefront of a Blue Beetle, I don't think DC is going to scrap it. I think DC is going to keep it, not because it did box office numbers, but because it really resonated with a lot of fans. And I think it's something that I think Latino fans are going to find that movie. They're going to champion that movie. And I don't think DC or Warner Bros. Can ignore that. That being said, did you see Geekscape friend Sean Gunn's casting news today?
I missed that. What's his casting news?
Our good friend Sean Gunn, who's been on the Geekscape podcast. And we know him as from the James Gunn movies, etc. He is Maxwell Lord. I don't know if he's going to be in his brother's Superman movie, but Max Lord is who Pedro Pascal played in the Wonder Woman 84. A little bit of a Maxwell Lord is a bit of a Lex Luthor, like billionaire industrialist. He's a bit like what's his name who runs Tesla,
Elon Musk,
and he gets a little bit of like power. He gets like a little bit of superpowers. He gets this gene that gets activated in him. But ultimately, he's a bad guy, and he's a bad guy who wants to use his powers to like use something called Brother Eye to like watch over people. And what's crazy is during one of the crisis events, Wonder Woman had no choice but to snap his freaking neck. And it was one of the big Diana moments, because you talk about Superman, you talk about Batman, you talk about heroes don't kill. Diana ultimately, I think, put the lasso of truth on him, so that there was no alternative and that this guy wasn't going to stop and that he was going to kill. And she snaps his freaking neck. Good news from Purple Zebra and on YouTube says it's just announced that Godzilla Minus One added 2,500 theaters in the US and Canada. So you're going to get more of a chance to see that. Geekscape has run out to see that. Please run out to see that. So, guys, there's lots of news, lots of comic stuff.
We got to start to wrap it up, obviously, please, because we got to move to the next segment with Bingetown. But I did want to just throw this out there as we're talking about all of this genre stuff.
We're just talking nerd now.
We're talking nerd.
So Geekscape's 4, baby.
But, you know, it sounds like next year we're, if I'm understanding the news correctly, that because of the strikes and everything, that Deadpool 3 is pretty much the only thing Marvel's putting out next year.
I think Captain America 4
or something.
I think Captain America 4, it swapped dates with it, but I think Captain America 4 is pushed till November at the earliest, but Deadpool 3 went from May to July.
Yeah, but either way, it's coming. I don't think it's a bad thing that we're only going to get one or two comic book movies.
As you and I just proved.
Yeah.
The comic movies are not the say-all end-all of what geeks get every year. Matt Kelly, you got to go see the Teenage Mutant the Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem.
It's top of my list. I'm probably going to watch it on Paramount Mayhem. Plus. I think I'm going to watch it tomorrow.
You got to watch the Godzilla Minus One, so that when Godzilla Minus Two comes out, you're ready.
Okay.
Godzilla Minus One is the shit. Geekscapists, I love that this movie is being released subtitles only. But it's fucking awesome. And Mutant Mayhem. You got to watch the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the Mutant Mayhem. Watch it with somebody. Don't watch it by yourself. There's so many jokes that you guys are going to be laughing at. It's an awesome time. It's the best Ninja Turtles movie. And I say that knowing the live actions, this and that. Like, it's the best Ninja Turtles movie. Seth Rogen killed it. Yeah, okay. I forgot to tell you guys about the whole Shane puking thing in my intro. But yeah, I think that was, for me, the highlight / low light of the holiday stream. There's always got to be a moment every year with the holiday live stream, and that I think was the 2023 moment. Sorry about the lack of a warning there in my intro, and a lot of puke talk there on this episode of Geekscape. Well, that's what we got. There's been some amazing Geekscapes in the feed. Go back and explore some of them. I absolutely love the conversation that Christian Blatt had on this feed with producer and director of the behind the scenes of the Star Wars Holiday Special, Jeremy Kuhn. That's, I think, the episode right before this in the feed. Before that, you have the live episode from LA Comic Con, and we're not done with the LA Comic Con content. The next two things you're going to be getting to close out this year are my comic book indie comics fundraising conversation. That was really a lot of fun. And for all you screenwriters, there's a conversation about the first time I sold, how I kind of broke into the business. First time I sold a screenplay panel that we did at LA Comic Con. Both those things are coming up on the feed. So please share Geekscape with your friends. I love how much we've grown in the last year. I'm looking at you, Spotify, and I love how you guys are sharing the show. I love the feedback I'm getting. Feel free to email me at any time, jonathan@geekscape.net. And of course, look me up on all the socials. Look for Geekscape on the socials. And we have a bit more content coming here in 2023, but 2024 looks like it's going to be an amazing year. So you're in the right spot. again, share it with your friends, leave those 5-star reviews that really help our visibility and really help us out. And hang tight for more Geekscape. All right? Geekscape forever. Over and out. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.